Okay, if we're ready to start the meeting, I'll have a call to order and roll call, please.
Kibler?
Here.
Maxwell?
Here.
Quisenberry? Rosales?
Here.
Schwartz? Hartke?
Here.
James?
Next, we have approval of minutes from the Facilities Committee meeting, May the 6th. I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes. Next, we need an approval of the agenda and addenda, if any.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Next, we're going to have public participation, and I'm sure you've heard it before. You're allowed 5 minutes. When you come up to the microphone, push the little button and give us your name and your address. And the first one's going to be Charlotte Green.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this evening, and thank you for your public service to our county. I understand that the county is currently negotiating with Kimmy and Associates regarding the development of a facilities master plan. I would like to suggest that the scope of services include not only options for facilities housing the current jail population, but also use of county-owned buildings for our reentry program and a minimum security facility, which could be located with less cost in a building other than the jail. The scope of services should also include community-based programs for people with low-level offenses. Examples of such programs include a work release program, a day reporting center, a detox center, and increased community services for people with mental illness. Implementation of each program should result in a reduction of the jail population, and each is less costly to operate than incarceration. Of equal importance, each community-based program provides people with tools to become productive, law-abiding citizens. I want to use day reporting centers as an example of a program which could reduce the jail population and save taxpayers money. I have 2 articles about the day reporting centers. One's in Waukesha County, Wisconsin, and the other is in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Day reporting centers are non-residential treatment facilities where offenders are required to attend meetings, submit to drug testing, do job searches, and participate in appropriate classes, such as GED, anger management, and life skills classes. In the Waukesha County Day Reporting Center, participants meet with case managers who monitor, advise, and encourage the participants. Based on the statistics from the article about the Waukesha County Day Reporting Center, I estimate that we could reduce our jail population by 19 people each day if we had a similar center here in Champaign County. I'll explain my reasoning. On the bottom of page 2, it talks about how many jail bed days they saved by having the day reporting center, and that was 13,739. So I divided that number by 365 days, which converts to 38 fewer jail beds needed each day. Well, our county is about half the population of Waukesha County, and I checked kind of our average jail population, how many are in the jail on one particular day, and it's pretty much half the jail population of that county. So it seems to me we could take half of that 38 and estimate roughly, I know it's a rough guess, but we could possibly reduce our jail population by 19 people each day. The day reporting center is only one example of how we might reduce the jail population by implementing some of the programs I have mentioned. It is in our best interest to ask the architectural firm to provide information about remodeling options for the reentry program, a minimum security facility, and any of the community-based programs we decide are beneficial. The firm should also provide information about operating costs for each of the programs so that we compare those to the operational costs at the jail. Lastly, the firm should estimate reductions in jail population resulting from each of the programs, which will impact the number of beds that we would need in the jail. Thank you very much.
Would Dorothy Weiss?
You're a Weiss.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. Good evening, and I also want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to make a presentation to you at this committee meeting, and I appreciate the service that you provide for the people of Champaign County. I'd like to provide some comments and a suggestion on the RFQ for the Sheriff's Operations Master Planning, specifically related to options. One of the strengths of the scope of services that's listed in the RFQ is that it asks the contracting firm to provide options for various configurations of housing. I think that's really important because the impact of new programs, as Charlotte mentioned, and new procedures on the number and types of people in custody, the number that will be there in a few years, we don't exactly know what that's going to be, and having information on these options will be very useful. I suggest that there are two other components to be added to the scope of services now while the negotiations are in process, and they also relate to options. First, I think the contracted firm should provide an evaluation of existing underutilized space in county-owned buildings that could be used for functions related to sheriff's operations. Space in the old nursing home, in the public health building, in the juvenile justice center could be used for community programs, for administrative services, and possibly for housing low-risk offenders. The cost of limited remodeling of these facilities may be considerably lower than new construction, even after you consider the differences in operating expenses over the coming 10 to 20 years. And some of the programs, like a reentry program, would probably be more successful if it were physically located away from the jail in the community that the people are hoping to return to. And just kind of an aside, I moved here from California where recidivism rates are in the range of 60% from the state prisons. Here they're in the range of 50%, which is still way higher than it ought to be. But Illinois is looking a whole lot better to me than California did on that and some other measures. Also, the level of overcrowding was so much worse in California than it is here. And so even though I see that there is real advantages here compared to California in that respect, I know that you really want to make sure that things are improved as much as possible so that in fact you can meet the constitutional expectation that time in corrections helps to return people to productive participation in society. So second, in addition to looking at existing facilities off the jail campuses that could be used for related purposes, I think it's very likely that the programs that would provide mental health services, the use of more electronic home monitoring, and the prevention of recidivism will result in fewer people in jail, And so the contracted firm should be expected to include projections for at least 25% lower jail population than what is currently being housed. I think that if these figures are provided to the county for the with the different options for numbers of people in the jails themselves, and for options for use of other space, I think it will give much better information to the county board members, to the county staff, as they make decisions about what's the best way to plan programs and what's the best way to plan facilities for sheriff's operations. So again, thank you for all the work that you put into to these issues, and I look forward to hearing more about how things progress. Thank you very much.
That'll close our public participation. We'll move on to communications. I don't have any. Does Deb, Van, or anybody have any communications? Any other board members? No? Okay, we'll close that, and we'll move on to facilities director report, and I'll turn it over to Dana.
Thanks, Jan. First up is the Brookings Administrative Center chiller project. As you know, we approved at the last county board meeting the purchase of two chillers for pod 200 and 300 in this building. We had our first kickoff meeting last Friday with the contractor who will be ordering and putting in both chillers, A&R Mechanical. They're using Glesco Electric, and Alpha Controls will be utilized in the control process. Don't have a firm schedule as of yet. We have confirmed that we're in line for chiller production. Between now and next Friday, we should have a schedule from the contractor, as well as confirmation of the chiller manufacturer and delivery. So we're all shooting for August 1st. Hoping it's a little bit earlier. Some folks in the building are hoping it's a lot earlier. We'll see. But that's moving along well. I'm going to keep rolling. Or does anybody have any questions on
Ask. Go ahead.
Anybody have any questions on the Brookings chiller project? Okay. Elias demolition project. I passed out on that very large schedule that you got. The schedule just came in today. We'll have a meeting on it later in the week. The contractor, Diggett of Champaign, is here on site. The asbestos abatement work has been completed. That was finished up last Wednesday. They are starting on the interior removal of ceiling tiles, light fixtures, fire alarms, all the stuff that that can get in the way of a demolition project. And just a reminder, this is the Elias Annex portion. It's about 5,500 square feet that we're tearing down. All seems to be in line. The last two items, I will we'll have a little debate. Installation of trees. Once we take down the building, we will put up, once the final grade is in place, several trees where the building once stood, as well as fencing material and grass seed. But we'll have to have the contractor delay the installation of trees and grass seed until weather is appropriate, and it's certainly not appropriate 1st of August. So it'll be probably latter part of September before we put in any trees or grass seed. But other than that, demolition is scheduled to move forward. The actual demolition itself, once it starts, should only take approximately 1 week. They've got a large backhoe that's already been in. The fence went up today. The permits are coming in. I think we only need one other piece of documentation. And as for the bond, I just received communication today that we should have it by the end of the week. So their insurance is in-house, and so all is ready to go. Any questions on the Elias demo? Okay. The third update is the courthouse, which we just toured. We didn't talk a whole lot about it. I sent out handed out a document to you. Since I started the 1st of November, we've had two change orders be submitted. The first one was for actually stopping the project in November because of weather. It cost us about $2,500, as you can see from the attachments to the material that I provided. The second one just came in. They looked at, as they were going around the building and doing their work, they found that the capstones have a combination of a mortar joint and a sealant, polyurethane-based sealant on the outside. That sealant is gone, and it's still there, but it's cracking. It's allowing moisture to come in and moisture to be retained inside. So our thought process, and I'm in agreement with this, and is that we go ahead and tuck point those areas, to not put back the sealant, but put back a mortar where we're taking that out and making sure that it's watertight and no water can get in and underneath the capstone. The second part of that change order is at the roof, or what would be the ceiling of the second floor that wraps around the building. There's angle iron put at the top of that second floor brick to support the third floor brick. And that joint where that angle iron is in between those two bricks is a polyurethane-based sealant, and that too, it probably has another year or so of life, but in thinking about, you know, what we're doing with this project and the equipment that's on board right now, it would be cheaper to have that removed and replaced within this project. So the change order that is attached is for $21,855. As you can see from the documentation, when the project was put together last September, it was estimated at a total cost of $303,000. The construction estimate was $223,000. When it was bid out last September, the bids came in at $135,000 for construction. Based on these numbers and the two change orders with the contingency at $33,500, we're going to be well under the contingency and have the funds available. My submission to both Deb and Van was to move forward with the change order and to get this done so that we make the building watertight. Any questions?
Gary.
I guess I might have a little bit of a problem with the demobilization. With the severe winter we had, he was going to have to do this anyway. So I'm not quite sure we ought to have to pay for the full bill of asking him to shut down because of bad weather.
We did complain about that as well and got him to reduce the bill by about 40%. But he had to have the lifts brought in for, they were here for about 2 weeks and then taken away. Most of that was for the lift equipment that was delivered, which is not his personal property. I don't believe that he charges very much for services that he provided, but mostly the lifts.
It seems to me that he has a certain amount of risk as part of doing business, and it was his choice to start this project when he did. So,
Gary, I guess I would say that it was really the county who had mandated that the project get started in the fall. I can't give you much more than that. I'll certainly look back through records to give you a little more information, but I would be responsible and Alan would be responsible for trying to move the project to get it started in the fall. The project was originally designed to be spread over two fiscal years. It was budgeted that way, $134,000 in FY13 to be paid for the project and $179,000 in FY14.
If this is the best you can do, you feel like you've done all that can be done, and it's within a reasonable thing on the contractor's part, I can go along with it.
Any other questions? I guess I'll make a few comments. When I look at this, and we had that study done by the engineering group to go out there, and I know questions have been asked before. When they were looking at that, I find it sort of disheartening that they didn't catch some of that in their original overview of the building when they were telling us what they saw. So I'm not happy with that, and I think the county, in the past, we've given in on a few things because basically we're held to certain legal parameters, but we need to really be careful of that when they're doing this because we always seem to get these add-ons. And I guess my next thing would be that when we're talking about the mortar joints and then the sealant over it, and I know on the other side when we did some work, if my memory serves me correct, we were putting in some kind of material to allow the bricks to expand and move. Where here we're going to do away with the sealant and we're going strictly to the mortar mix, which in my mind, if we're having issues on the other side, something would tell me that that's not really the correct procedure that we want to be having done at this point. If you remember the side when they came, well, you weren't here, but if anybody else in the group recalls, we talked about that because there was some buckling and some movement, and they told us that we needed to put some other type of material in to allow the joint to move and buffer without cracking the mortar and doing a lot of shifting. Well, it sounds like to me, based on what you just said, they're going to go up there and grind it out, put mortar back in, but we're not going to seal it, and we're not putting any other material in there that would help ease that expansion.
A couple of things to help try and answer your questions. First of all, the part of this process of this masonry project, particularly in the original side of the courthouse, was to put in expansion joints, which didn't previously exist, and those go from ground floor all the way up to top. And most there is movement, yes, vertically a little bit. Most of it is from, you know, side to side, so to speak. Most of the capstones that I've ever worked with are done with mortar, and I've unless there's been a leak down the road. Somehow, when water's penetrated that area, I very rarely have seen some sort of a polyurethane a sealant placed in there. Talking to our contractor, our architect and engineer, and others, it's pretty standard to use just a mortar. They were surprised to see it. It's on the inside, by the way, of that capstone, and they did not when they looked. Added look at the other side because their lift didn't go up that high. They knew they would have an opportunity to come back during this process with the contractor and revisit. Also, you know, Mother Nature was pretty rough on us this past year, and I think they had a few other things show up. We certainly added a few small areas that we have seen. We visit the site on a weekly basis and talk directly both with the architect, engineer, and the contractor. We've pointed out several other areas as well we want addressed with this process. Several that are not, you know, charging us for extra, just areas that need to be done. So I think they're doing it correctly. And my judgment certainly would be that by taking out the polyurethane at the top and replacing it with mortar is a fine and standard way to operate with that capstone.
And I would just follow up and say, I guess I would agree, but it was put up there for a reason at that time. Someone had a logic that said this is a better way. But I just want to point out when we look at these things, that's when we talk about guarantees or warranty due to the shifting, I just want to stress that a lot of things come into play here. It's not always just a simple fix and a simple answer. But again, I'll go back, and not to beat a drum here, but when the so-called experts are out there, and they are the experts, and they're saying, here's your report, here's what we're noticing, you know, like Gary said, their feet ought to be held to the fire a little bit, saying, now, wait a minute, you had ample time to review this, here's the report you gave us. And, you know, now you're coming back and saying, whoops, you know, we didn't catch this. And then, of course, like you're saying, the winter. But I'm not a betting man. But if I were, I would lay money that some of that cracking didn't happen just over the winter. I mean, that looks pretty deteriorated in some of that. I just think that when we write specs, and I've said this when we've done other jobs, that we need to be looking out for the county. Contractors are in it to make some money, which is fair. But we need to have some bite, teeth, whatever you want to call it, for the county side saying, wait a minute, You know, we came to the table, we gave you all the information, gave you ample time. Now be fair with us, because sometimes I think when people see an extra chance to get some money, and I'm not saying this is the case here, but it does happen, we know it all the time, then they'll do it. And one last thing on Gary's comment, if my memory serves me correct, when we started this project, the weather had turned nasty. You know, I go back to common sense when I do things. I don't know if everybody uses it or if they got a different meter they go by, but the weather turned awful nasty once we let this go, and there was rain and there was cold, and we just said, you know what, why don't we just hold off till the weather breaks? So if I'm moving equipment in, that's a risk I take. You know, when I do business and whenever I've been in court, the first thing the lawyer tells me is, that's your cost of doing business. You did it. I'm not going to beat a dead horse over the problem there, but they ought to think of that way too, instead of thinking that the money's just there. They ought to use a little common sense, a little fairness, and say, you know, just because it's a taxpayer job, you know, we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Moving right along.
Clock tower. Lighting replacement, and I apologize, I did not have a document to hand out because the two lights that were going to be added to this project, we can no longer get, so we're looking for two additional lights. The two lights that are in question now are on the ground floor that shine up to the Richmond entry. Neither one are functioning. And they're very heavy-duty fixtures meant to take a beating being on the ground and exposed to anybody walking by, et cetera. So I do apologize for not having that final. Here's our fixtures, but we'll have it here at the next meeting as well. Bruce Hannon, obviously, has been kept up to date where we're at with the project. I know on our tour there was some discussion about the clock, and Bruce has been very wonderful in giving of his time and energy in assisting me with trying to educate me about the clock and the maintenance of so forth that I've taken over of the clock itself. So just a little shout out to Bruce, but he's been terrific to work with. But we'll have an update for you and pass out that information at the next. At the next meeting in July.
Any questions on that?
Nope. The final update is on the parking lots, and we actually have three parking lots that we're taking a look at. It's the Brookins 2, which are on the north side of the building. It's the County Highway parking lots, and the Elias parking lot. Funding would be, obviously, Brookins from Administration, County Highway from their budget, and Elias is going to fund the resealing of their lot. It's about 220,000 square feet approximately between the three lots. Been working with Jeff Blue from County Highway. We've identified three companies to get price quotes from. He's in that process. We have received one to date. And are hopeful that within the next a few days we'll receive the other two, so we'll be able to take a look at to see if we meet the purchasing thresholds for either doing the work individually, County Highway doing their lot, Elias doing their lot, and Physical Plant doing the lot here at Brookins. If it's over the threshold, obviously we'll have to put together a bid document and bid out the work. But the intention was that each of those entities would work together. There'd be three separate billings, so we'd make sure that we'd follow all the purchasing regulations and make sure that JJ is in thinking good thoughts about our work. So that's a quick update on the parking lot. But our intention is to get the parking lot done this summer. We've got probably about 400 to 500 square feet out here at Brookins. It needs to be cut out, stamped, and poured some new asphalt back in, as well as in a sealant coat. At both County Highway and Elias, they're in relatively good shape, just some cracks that we'll fill and then reseal and stripe.
You ready for questions?
Absolutely.
Gary?
How many square
Microphone. Question, how many square feet did you say in the total in those lots?
I want to say it's 220,000 square feet.
Okay, that's about 4.5 acres, is that right?
That's...
The other is, that's a lot. The other question is, what type of sealing are we talking about doing? Are we talking about asphalt and chips or hot sand seal, things like that, or do we know yet?
That is a Jeff question. I do not have that information, but since he's the engineer, we're going to go with whatever Jeff has to say on what gets put back on top.
That's probably wise.
We always do, of course.
Any other questions? Well, I want to thank you, and I just want to point out that most of the items on the list tonight are preventive maintenance and ongoing maintenance items instead of new building items, and I'm glad that Dana's finally getting this in line, and hopefully we can keep moving forward on some of this stuff as our buildings need the attention. So thank you, Dana, and your group. Appreciate it. Other business. Gary?
I don't know if this is appropriate, but if it isn't, please rule me out of order. The RFP for, or RFQ actually, for the sheriff needs assessment, facilities needs assessment. I think we're in the process now of doing the scope of services, trying to come up with some sort of an agreement on what we really are going to agree to have done. I think when we started down this, and at least in my mind, when we started down this road, we had an immediate problem that we wanted to resolve. And that included some classification issues and to provide some better facilities for the female persons in the old jail. And I hope that this scope of services we develop not only addresses early on some of the things we can take fairly quickly to address those issues, as well as addressing some of the issues of future expansion or future construction needs for jail facilities. And I'll be interested to see how that scope of services comes out. We'll encourage everybody to, as you do this scope of services, to include those kind of issues early on in the process. And it's hard to, you have to have a good scope of service before you can assign cost. So I know the committee's going to have to work very hard getting that scope of services right and then nailing down the cost for that. I have one other issue, but that's all I want to say about the scope of services for the RFQ.
Gary, if I may, on sort of a reply to your statement, that's going to be an issue when it comes before the, you know, as we process through that, but I'm in hopes, and I'm going to see if we can't somehow get a midway report, even though it won't be a final report, to see how things are progressing and what avenues they're looking at, so that then the group that's having the discussion can report back to the county board with it, or we can meet with them at the county board. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think there ought to be a midway that we can say, okay, yes, this is sort of the direction, get a general feel of how they're going, and see what they're incorporating in that report. Patsy?
Thank you. I wanted to convey messages that I've received from constituents concerning the RFQ and the RFQ process, so it'll be on the public record, and then any information that you all can share in return, then it'll also be on the public record. The first set of comments that I've received have to do with the way the RFQ is written, and it relates to the fact that the scope of services was not very well defined in the RFQ. And as I recall, I do not remember which presenter, but one of the presenters did mention during that individual's presentation or that firm's presentation
that it was hard to respond to the RFQ because the scope of services was not very well defined. And I think that's something that we need to pay a little bit more attention should and when we do another RFQ. I'm really not very fond of this process, and that goes to the second comment that I have received. It's a comment, it's more a question, and I don't have an answer for it. We do an RFQ based on qualifications. X consulting firm is chosen. Then we go through this process, which is now being described as laying out the scope of services and defining those, and then we'll get a cost. But we have no idea if this is a good or a bad cost because we have no comparison when it comes to costing out. And we have no budget figure in the budget as to what is our window of costs that we're willing to pay for this part of our steps moving along and trying to make a decision concerning the jail and all of the ramifications of any decision we make on the jail. And I think it's interesting that I have heard from constituents concerning both of those aspects. And as I said, the last one I do have a concern about because I have no idea how we are going to decide on the cost of these services. Thanks.
Deb.
I'd like to respond to the latter first, and then I'd like to ask Van to respond to the former. With regard to the cost of the services, they're under the RFQ process, as you know. You don't get to compare. You negotiate what you believe is reasonable, and you base it on what is negotiated as the scope of services, and then who will be doing the work for that firm, and whether or not the way they allocate costs to the individuals who provide those services is deemed to be reasonable by the county. So that is, we're stuck with that. You will never be able to compare costs for these services because we don't get to do that under the law in Illinois, under the quality-based selection process. So we just have to hope that we are looking at working with firms who are providing us with what we deem to be reasonable costs, and if we deem them to not be reasonable, then we can always move on to the second-ranked vendor and negotiate that. There's a particular reason that, and we've had vendors say to us that our RFQ was ideal because it was not specific with regard to scope of services, and I'm going to let Van explain that.
Thank you. And I will say that the firm that made that comment was not the winning firm. They felt it was one of the firms that did not get the, it was not top ranked, and they felt it was one of the most fair processes they had been in. And so it's very important when we talk about the way we're doing business and whether we do an RFQ or an RFP or a bid document, it's based on what the project is. And in this case, we needed expertise that we didn't have to define the scope of services. The QBS process, the quality-based selection process, which we have to follow by state law, actually is lined out so that you do the process exactly the way we did it, so that you have a scope of services of the things that you know that you need or feel that you need, go through the quality-based selection, and then once you have the firms ranked, then you can sit down with the experts and actually refine that scope of services so that you're actually taking into account the expertise you're hiring. If you put out an RFP and people bid on it, basically you're stuck with what you put out there and let everybody bid on, and what they're bidding on is what they understand your scope to be, not necessarily what you wanted it to be. And so in this process, you actually get to sit down and have that discussion across the table to really make sure that you're on the same page with them. So actually you get a better cost out of the process. And that's the reason why the whole process has been laid out, not by the county, but by the state procurement. The federal procurement acts also, you know, follow the same type of process. And so, again, an RFQ is very important, when you need expert help to define that scope of services to ensure that the outcome is the best possible outcome for the county.
Thank you, both of you, for answering that. And I'll tell my constituents at about an hour and 10 minutes into the meeting to watch your answers. Thanks.
Any other comments on the issue? Mr. Rosales.
My initial question was that this process was going to cost us zero. That's what I had understood, that this was just a request for qualifications. And we were not going to be spending a cent to this point. We were just seeing to see who would be the best firm or individual business that would provide us with the needs assessment that we need to provide to Sheriff Dan Walsh. I think what Patsy is indicating is that there is a spending process that hasn't been really pre-approved by the board or by the committee, finance committee, to spend any money towards this whole process. And if it is, and then I would like to know how much have we budgeted for to fulfill this request for qualifications before we even get a request for a proposal or even a bid. So that's what I remember you, Jeff, indicating to me saying it's gonna cost zero. And I said, zero, okay, cool, I'm for that. If it's gonna cost zero, I'm for it. But now it seems like it's vaguely saying that if we go up this road, like Patsy is saying, that it's gonna be, we're gonna be incurring a cost as we move forward towards the selection and proposals and recommendations, which is not the step of actually fulfilling the task at hand.
Well, if I might, Mr. Rosales, I don't think we've spent a penny yet other than on some advertisement. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've paid anybody to be here to speak to us. I think that as we progress along, and I've been here 10 years, and some of you have been here a little less, but John Jay and I have heard this system, how it works. We don't agree with it, but it's the system. We can beat a drum all day long, but we need to go to the state and get those folks to change how we operate. We can't do it. But the next step will be to meet with these folks that we've chosen, sit down at the table, go over some things with them. The bottom line is, and Deb can probably say it a lot easier than I can, the county board is the one in the final end that can say, nope, that's going to cost too much. We're not going to do it. You know, we're just not going to do it. But you can't always say, well, what's it cost and how come we're not moving? And, you know, man, I wish life was that easy, and I get frustrated more so than you do when I do things, because if I take my car in or I buy something, every time I get something, the tax rate's gone up, and you can sit there and scream and yell, but if you need it, you need it, and we definitely need a study as to what our buildings are and what other options we might be able to. We've got a nice study as far as the inmate count and the beds we need and the makeup of the inmate population. We have nothing that tells us this building is reusable or not. Not one iota other than a comment that it's not safe and should be not used. I don't tell me anything, you know. I know people and we hear it all the time. I hear Patsy say things that her windows have been in her house for 110 years and they don't leak. Well, but ours do, and there's a reason and we need to move on. So I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying that this is how government operates, whether we like it or not. Our hands are somewhat tied, but I like the process. I think from what I see in the business I've had with contractors, if you put out a proposal, you're telling these folks, here's what we want, give us your best price. And then if you throw it all out, guess what? If I'm a contractor, I'm not going to keep coming back to that table unless I'm really hungry. But we told them we wanted some quotes. We wanted to see what they had to offer. We saw what they had to offer. Some of them were very ritzy and fine with pictures. Others were very easygoing. And we made a decision as a group. Now we need to move on.
Perhaps, Deb, you can help me with this. I believe there, as part of this early on process in this year's budget, there was some money available to start the study, but not specifically assigned yet. Is that correct, or what is that?
There is money budgeted in the public safety sales tax fund for various initiatives arising out of the ILPP report, and It is, and one of the things that was specifically stated was that it would also be used for follow-up studies with regard to what the sheriff might request regarding his facilities, which is what this whole RFQ is.
Thank you.
So allow me, Stan, in layman's terms, I don't know the procedures and process of governmental statutes and procedures and procurement, but I do know that when you're going to do a roof, for instance, as an example, and this is a much larger project than just a roof, you usually get three estimates, and those individual contractors bid for those for doing that roof, and they'll give you their best guesstimate or estimate of how much that specific roof will cost. And then you are able to look through what the details are in within that contract, the materials being used, and the type of, you know, a licensure bonded contractors that are going to come onto your property, that they're in a safe environment to do the amount of work that you are allowing them to do. And so is this similar to that process where you get the estimates for free, and then we get to decide which is the best one? You get the top-notch Cadillac, or do you get the Volkswagen at the bottom, or do you get the midsize contractor that would do pretty much in the scope of what you're doing? Here, I'm getting the feel that we selected one firm. We're going to get one scope of view of the work, and that's where we're going to lay out. And if you want to know whether to put one chimney or two chimney, that's going to cost you additional, or whether you're going to put shingles or a slate roof, that's going to cost you additional, or whether you're going to do a copper roofing, or whether you're going to do an asbestos roofing, that's going to cost you an additional. So as we move down to the roof repair, you know, those are the specifics that we would add on to our contract. Am I right to say that?
From my understanding, Geraldo, and what you just said, basically this firm that has been chosen will listen to the group that's going to talk to them. They will incorporate what they need to look at. They will give us engineering and architectural designs and some other things to look at. The county board will then choose, based on the monies available, what is the best option at that time to proceed. But yes, we're going to pay them for their services, for the study they do. I mean, they're not going to do this study for free, but then they will go out for bids, much like we've done every other project, and hired a general contractor. And then that general contractor will hire subcontractors, and then they go by the specs that this firm has laid out for them. Whether they spec, you know, a copper roof or a shingled roof, that's what they're going to do. And then when they come back, they will give us their quote as to what that's going to cost us on the contractor's end. But this is just, they're putting together the papers, the diagrams, the options. Nothing's been decided until we see those options. The option may be, you know, something that none of us have ever thought about, because they did state, most of them that were here, we're going to look at that downtown jail to see if there was any feasibility to it, whether it be tearing out walls and redoing it, and the overall cost as far as maintenance, upkeep, utilities. I mean, all that comes into play, and they've got a better handle on it than I'll ever have by any means. So then they'll give us that, and then it'll be up to this board to see the final result, who all bids on the project, and everybody can sit here and say, I'm not going to do it, or yes, we are going to do it. But that's where that comes in. Am I not correct? To a point.
Primarily, I think maybe you want to stay focused on the issue at hand, which is you have selected the top-ranked firm pursuant to an RFQ. A scope of services and cost of those services will be negotiated, and a contract with that firm to provide the services outlined in that RFQ will come back to this committee in July, if all goes well. And at that point, you will decide, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? So, and that's getting, and this is only for master planning services. This is not to say we're going to use this or this, or it's going to be specifically that you're way ahead, that's way down the road. This is just to determine what the needs are and the best options for addressing the total sheriff's office operations plan for the foreseeable future. Did you want
Thank
to
you.
Add anything?
Well, then I have a follow-up clarification question based on Stan's response. And he implied in his response that this same firm would be the firm that does the work after they create a master plan or whatever we're going to call it. We'll call it a master plan for this conversation. Then the next step after that is an RFP saying...
The next step after that is to go... Once you have the master plan, then the county board will decide how it wants to proceed from there. And that is not covered by this RFQ. That's another decision for the county board to make in the future.
Thank you. Deb, are we going to make some sort of a not-to-exceed type contract with them based on the scope of services that we agree upon, or how do you visualize the shape of that contract to look?
Gary, we're just starting to negotiate that contract. Mr. James and Mr. Quisenberry, the chair and the vice chair of this committee, will be sitting in on those negotiations. I can't answer that today because I don't know, but if you have any concerns or issues that you definitely want them to consider in the negotiation, I would say share it with one of those two individuals.
Thank you.
Deb, I'd like to clarify a statement that Mr. Rosales made and Mr. James responded to. So far, we have not spent a dime, correct? And we have on that July Cal meeting or facilities meeting to say yay or nay on spending a single dime. So everything up to this point has been free, zero, and will continue to be that way until we approve it.
Well, there has been nothing.
That's true. Dinner was paid for.
There has been nothing shown to this board in order for us to pay. So I hope that we haven't paid anything because I haven't seen anything. So, I mean, that's realistically. Until I see exactly what's being proposed, and then you can't ask me to pay. So that's kind of a conundrum, you know, meaning that we haven't paid for anything, but we haven't received anything.
May I respond to that, Mr. Chair? By your statement earlier, it made it seem like that I was insinuating that we were going to pay nothing forever, or made it seem like we were going to, we're now paying for something. At this point, we've not, and we will continue not to pay anything until we get the information that we're looking for. So.
One last comment, Geraldo.
I thought this was a committee meeting. Well, I'll make this one a long one. No. So, I mean, to me, it's hard to pinpoint a cost estimate when you have the price of steel going up. Price of steel today may change. I remember Tom Betts saying, you're going to be stuck with this project for the next 5 to 10 years, you know. So the price of steel may be higher 5 years from now. The cost of engineering firm might be a lot higher than what we are estimating today in 2014, 2015, 2016. So it's hard for me to pinpoint, and I know that we're looking into the future, but I think the fear of many of us in this room and in the community is that if we begin down this road and then it's very difficult to derail the project because we went from step one to step two to step three to step four, and you've approved all the steps in between, so there's no way that we're going to get off the train now and say, well, we're not going to build, we're not going to expand, because the money is limited or for any other reason, because the county citizens don't want it. That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay, and just to follow up on that, I want to just say that I think everybody at this table and in the whole board, in my mind, is wanting to do the best for the county. I don't think anybody here doesn't want anything but the best. It's just, how do we get there? And sometimes some of us just got to swallow our pride and move on, and I don't, you know what you're saying, Geraldo, holds a little bit of water, but knowing, as my I can't even think of the word. My mind went blank. But as Mr. Beckett would have said, I have no crystal ball. And you're absolutely right. And some things come in cheaper. But I'm going to cut you off.
It's not a matter about pride, though. Well, I have no pride in this project.
Well, it's a matter of opinion also. But moving right along, Chair's report. Amendment to the 2014 calendar of meetings for the county facilities, and then we had on there the cancellation, but we're not going to cancel it because that's the night we are going to hear from them, hopefully. If not, maybe we can reschedule it if it doesn't get too late, but I'll leave that up to the people that do that. So that's not going to be canceled. And then the future meeting, Josh, I should have called on you. I'm sorry. The future meeting will be Tuesday, August the 5th at 6 p.m. Remember, we agreed on that, and that was one of them nice things that everybody that was here and the ones that were absent, we got to get going with that. So that's that. And then designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda, absolutely nothing. And then
July meeting, that will be at 6
o'clock. Yeah, and the July meeting, well, that'll come out, but they're all going to be at 6 o'clock until we change it again. And then I will ask for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. Got it? Everybody in favor? We're out of here.